Today's shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Yud Ches. We're beginning on Yud Ches Amud Aleph by the Mishnah, about 10-15 lines down. And the Mishnah tells us, Masru lo zekenim mizikne beistin, v'korum lefon of beseder hayom. Again, we're talking here about the preparation for the Kohen Gadol to do the Avodah Yom Kippur. And as we've already mentioned, and we'll see in today's shir as well, that the Kohen Gadol in the Bayi Sheni was not always what we would envision the Kohen Gadol to be in terms of godless, in terms of Torah learning, in terms of knowledge of the Beis HaMikdash. There was often, in the second Beis HaMikdash, a bought position. It was not necessarily even bought by people that were having fidelity to Torah mitzvos. It was bought as a position of honor for people that just wanted to be called the Kohen Gadol. And therefore, the Zekanim was sent over from the Beis Din to go and teach him Seder Ayom, to make sure that he would know how to do the Avodah Yom Kippur, and also to make sure that he would do it in the correct way, the way the Prushim, the way we believe that the Avodah should be done, which is based upon Chazal and the Torah, as opposed to the Tzdukim, who had a totally different methodology of carrying in the Ketores. They said that the Ketores had to be set on fire before you went inside the Lifnai V'Lifnim, the Kodesh Kodashim, and the Halach is, of course, that you only light it inside there. So therefore, they had to teach him the right way to do that Avodah, as well as all the other Avodahs of the Yom. So V'Omerlo, and they would tell him, Ishi Kohen Gadol. Ishi, Rashi says, is a lotion of respect. It's like Master Adoni. You are master of the Kohen Gadol. Kira ato beficha. You could learn and say all these things yourself. If you are able to, go and say them yourselves. Again, we have the idea of osios machkimos. When you look inside and you say something, a person will know it better. So you say all these things, you go over all this and say it, and this way it will be ingrained better in your mind. Shema shechachta, because maybe you have forgotten the halacha. O shema lo lamadato, or maybe you never learned the halacha. The Gemara will jump in at the beginning and say, what? How could it possibly be that he didn't ever learn it? And the Gemara will answer, this is talking about the Bayi Sheni, where they didn't necessarily have Erlecha Kohanim Gedolim all the time. We had brought down previously, there were over 300 Kohanim Gedolim in the Bayi Sheni, and only a small handful of them were really truly Erlecha great Kohanim Gedolim. Now, this was during the days preceding Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippurim, Shachris. Now, on Erev Yom Kippur, by Shachris time, Ma'amidim Osom Bishar Mizrach, they were put in by the Shar Mizrach of the Azara, Umavirin Lefonov Parim Ve'elim Ukvosim, and they would bring in front of him all of different animals that he would be doing the Avoda on. Some suggest it was the actual animals that they did the Avoda on, and he would be familiar with them. And the Parim here includes different type of Parim, that's why it's in plural, as well as the Elim and the Kvosim. Kidei, and the purpose of this was Kidei Shemakir Virogil Bavoda. So you should be familiar with the Avoda of Yom Kippur. Oh, on this par, you're going to do this type of Avoda. This ayo, you're going to do this type of Avoda, etc., etc. So this was, again, to familiarize the poor Kohen Gadol who didn't know what he was doing to be able to do the Avoda correctly on Yom Kippur. Now, go back. Kol Shivas Hayomim, all 7 days of the preparations that he was Mufrash from his house, Mibeiso, from his wife and his house, so all 7 days they didn't lo yumonim mimenu machol mishti. He was allowed to eat whatever he wanted. There was no restrictions on what he could eat. However, erev Yom Kippurim im chashecha, but erev Yom Kippur, when a person obviously is going to be fasting on Yom Kippur, he's going to want to have a meal erev Yom Kippur that will satisfy him, satiate him enough that he'll get through Yom Kippur without any problems. Lo yinichim also lechol habri, but they didn't allow him to eat an excessive amount, because if a person has an excessive amount of food, this is actually something in medicine that we call the alkaline tide. After a meal, the person's acidity in his blood actually decreases. It gets more alkaline, it gets more basic, and there's actually a phenomenon known as the alkaline tide for a person after he's had a heavy meal, that he feels a little bit sleepy, something that many people might be familiar with on their own. So the Mishnah is telling us that this Maichel, Mipnei Shamaichel, may be as a Shena. It's going to lead him to fall asleep. And we don't want him to fall asleep on Yom Kippur night, because that could, chas v'shalom, lead to keri. And if he has a keri discharge, if he has a seminal discharge, so then he would be Tomei and wouldn't be allowed to do the Avod on Yom Kippur. So we try to keep him up all night. How did they do this? So the next mission will tell us that they would go and learn with him certain things that would draw at his heart and allow him to stay awake the whole night. Gemara starts off and asks the question they already alluded to, Bishlom Hashem HaShachach. We can understand how maybe the Kohen Gadol forgot what he has learned previously, and that fights a good chazar, it's a good review for him to go and chazar over these halachos, and therefore l'chai, we understand that very, very well. El Hashem HaLolaman, how could we be talking about that the Kohen Gadol didn't know these basic dinim? Mimo k'pinun k'ay gavna. Would you ever have a Kohen Gadol that is appointed to be the Kohen Gadol that is basically an Amma Aretz? But Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, and it's based upon this week's parsha, Parsha's Emor, Va'Kohen Agadol Me'achov. So the pasuk tells us that the Kohen Gadol, who he is anointed to be the Kohen Gadol, has to be Gadol Me'achov, which means Shei Gadol Me'achov, he has to be greater than all of his colleague Kohanim, B'Koach, physically stronger, B'Noi, has to be handsomer, B'Chochma, in wisdom, U'Yosher, and in wealth. That's all of what's described in HaKohen Agadol Me'achov. And before I should bring that, obviously, person may not have all of these characteristics, so you try to have as many and the most important ones as possible. But in the ideal situation, certainly the Kohen Gadol should be a huge Talmud Chacham. He should be greater than all the other Kohanim and Chachma. So how is it possible that he doesn't know the Avoda? That's the question that we're asking. And we further add to this that Minayin Shim Einlo, if a Kohen Gadol is a poor person, so that's something you can easily rectify. Sheachav HaKohanim Megadol Lo, so that they go give him money, they make him greater. Talmud Lomar, VaKohen HaGadol Me'achav, you learn this out, that you have to make him the Gadol Me'achav, Gadleihu Mishel Echav. You have to go and make him greater than all the other Kohanim, so that you can easily do with money. So, but the bottom line is that he's supposed to be a huge Talmud Chacham. So how can we possibly have a Havamina to say that Shema Lo Lamad? That's the obvious question, and the Gemara gives the Teretz, the obvious Teretz, which I already mentioned, Omer of Yosef, Lukasha. It depends. When it's dealing with the first base of Mikdosh, Kambi Mikdosh Rishon, all the Kohanim Gedolim were great, great, Tamidei Chachamim, Erlecha Kohanim Gedolim, so therefore, it would be impossible to say Shema Lo Lamad. But Nebuch and the Bayi Sheni, when they had 300 plus Kohanim Gedolim, and many of them were Amaratzim, and many of them were totally in competent for the job, come Mikdashani. It's easy to say that Shema Lo Lamad. And the Omer Ravasi, in regards to this, Ravasi said, Tarkava the Dinre, a Tarkava is Treyu Kav, Rashi tells us. So it means half of a saw, three kavs is half of a saw has six kavs in it. So this woman, this Marto Bas Baisus, gave Tarkava the Dinre, Aila Le. She gave to who? To the king, this Marta Bas Baisus, who was a very wealthy lady, we'll see in a moment, who she is in the Tosus Hashanim. So she gave to Liane Malka. She gave him, now the gears that we have is Al, but the more correct gears should be Ad, it says in the Source of Shas, until the Okbe Yoshua ben Gamla, Bekani Ravrivi, until they appointed Yoshua ben Gamla to be the Kohen Gadol. Now, there's a number of questions and points over here that we have to point out. But first, let's understand that here you see clearly in the Bayi Sheni, it was a bought position. Yehuda Yoshua ben Gamla was not the most qualified person to be the Kohen Gadol, but she bribed Yanai HaMelech, and therefore Yanai HaMelech appointed him to be the Kohen Gadol. So Tosus points out, you see from here clearly that Yanai HaMelech is not the same as the Yanai who was the Kohen Gadol. Because, obviously, if he was the Kohen Gadol, he wouldn't have allowed somebody else to be appointed instead of him. So Sosa points out that this Yanai HaMelech is not Yanai who was the Kohen Gadol. Okay, that's point number one. Point number two, who is this Marto Bas Baisus? So if you look in the Tosus Yishonim, under the Dibur Masl Marto Bas Baisus, it says she was an Almono Ashiro, she was a very wealthy widow. The Kitsha Yoshua Kodem Shinismana. And she married, she was Niskadesh by this Yoshua ben Gamla, and before he was appointed Kohen Gadol. And now she wanted her husband to be the Kohen Gadol. Yahakach Nismana Lios Kohen Gadol. So she arranged, she bribed Yanai HaMelech to make him the Kohen Gadol. As the Gemara in Yevamos tells us, Kedemino Yevamos, Ad Ukmise Lioshua ben Gamla, until he was appointed the Kohen Gadol. Now, was he a good person or not? So Va'afopi Shechoshuv Hoyo. He was really a great person. Yoshua ben Gamla was an Erlucha person. Kidyashkin Lakaman, like the Gemara is going to tell us later on Daf Lamed Zayin, where he dealt with also Shnei Gorolo Shel Ashkara shows off. So they had a pious, and he made it that they changed it from being from wood into gold. So therefore, he did a very good thing. He glorified the activities of the pious for the Sorel Hashem and the Sorel Azosa. That's number one. Umaskirin also Lishvach, we also point him out at doing a positive thing in the Gemara in Lo Yachpar, which is in Bava Basra, where it says there that he was Mesakenis Yeshua ben Gamla, the school system. He set up the yeshiva system where people would be able to go learn by a central yeshiva as opposed to everybody's father taught them. This was great if you had a father and if the father was able to teach you. But Nebuch, for the fathers that couldn't teach the children, or Nebuch, the orphans, the Yisomim, so they had nobody else. So Yeshua ben Gamla set up the yeshiva system and Zohar Latov. So therefore, he was a great person. So nevertheless, Tosfos Shonim says, Mikol Mokom, nevertheless, Hayu Bali Torah v'chashuvim mimenu. As great as Yoshua ben Gamla might have been, there were people more appropriate and even greater than him, more chashuv than him, Uruyin Limnos Yosef, and they were more appropriate to be the Kohen Gadol. So even though he was an appropriate choice, he wasn't the best choice. And that's what Rav Yosef is telling us over here, that it was a bought position in the Bayis Sheni. And that is the final answer to over here, how it could be Shema Lo Lamad. More continues and quotes the Mishnah, Erev Yom Kippur M'shachas Uchulei. We talk here about what happened on the morning of Yom Kippur. So Tana, why do we only show him the animals that we said we were showing him, which was the Purim, the Elim, and the Kvasim? Thereafter all, what about Tana Afa Sirim? The Braisa tells us that they also showed him the Sirim. So why didn't our Mishnah say that? That's the Gemara's question. The Tana Didan, the Tana of our Mishnah, my Taima Lo Tana Sirim. Why didn't he also mention the Sirim, the Sar Lashem, the Sar Lazazel? So the Gemara says, Kivon the Alchei Kasu, this is for sins. These Sirim are brought because of sins, and therefore Chol Shadaiti could give the coin what we call a Chalisha Sadas. It's going to make him very depressed. It's going to make him very sad that, oy, Nebuch, the sins of Klai Yisrael. So therefore, we don't want to mention to him the Sirim. That's the Tana of our Mishnah's a thought. Again, the Tana of the Braisa was not as concerned about this, therefore the Tana of the Braisa said we also show him the Seirim. Gemara says, Ihachi, if you're worried about Chalisha Sadas, if you're worried about the Kohen Gadol getting depressed by seeing the Yisar, so why aren't you worried about Ihachi Paranami? So why aren't you worried about the Par as well? Al-Chet Hudiyasi, the Par is also coming to be Mechaper Badov Ad Beso for all the Kohanim. So Gemara says, no, that's not a problem. Par, in this situation, Kivun the Olov the Al Echov a Kohanim Udiyasi, this is really atoning for himself and his family and his friends, so people that he knows. So be Echov a Kohanim, if amongst his fellow Kohanim, Iika Inish, the Isbe Milsa, if any of them are sinners and they've done something bad, so then Mistama, the Kohen Gadol, is going to know what's going on in his immediate family and his immediate surroundings. And therefore, May the Yadale, he'll know about it, Umahadale Bechuva, and it'll hopefully cause the person to do Tshuva, and therefore, the fact that he's bringing a par to atone for them isn't so distressing. It's not going to be making him depressed. However, Bekuli Yisrael, when dealing with all Klai Yisrael, the source of all of Klai Yisrael, Lo Yada, there's no way that he can know everybody's doings, and therefore he's going to say, Nebuch, there's sinners amongst Klai Yisrael that haven't done tshuva, and it's going to give him a Chalisha Sadas. To support this, Amar Ravina, Ravina tells us, Haina Damri Inshi, this is a popular aphorism that people would say, I barach hosech dai lo havei, if your is a chosich is your sister, bar means her son. So if your nephew through your sister is a dayola, Rashi tells us, is a shoter hamelech, he's a court-appointed officer, he's a policeman of some sort. So then, chazei bishuka, when you go out in the street and you see him, kamei lo tachlif, don't go in front of him because he's going to know your financial dealings, because again, family knows what's going on with other people. As Rashi says, mitok shoya makircha, Mitrila, he's going to know everything about you. Bakihu be Oshrach ubemaasecha. He's going to know your wealth and he's going to know your doings. Limtso alila, and he'll go and make a libel. Legavos mincha mamun. He'll be able to go legally, authoritatively, because he's an appointee of the king to go and take your money. That's the way Rashi understands this. The Rebbeinu Chananel has a different way of looking at it. He says, and not that this policeman's going to turn you in, but you won't be able to do any shenanigans with him because he knows all your business. Rabbeinu Chananel says, "Pirish this dailo kigom memuna b'meches." He's a tax collector. He's like the business appointee for the government. And if somebody comes to hide from them, yodeabo, he knows what's going on. You won't be able to go and fool him. So again, similar idea that everybody knows their close family, their close surroundings, business, and therefore you won't be able to get away with something. Therefore, the Kohen Gadol over here, for his own family, he knows what's going on. He knows who's a sinner, who's not. He's going to try to get him to the tshuva. He won't have a chalisha sadas from the par, which comes to atone for his own family. But the sar, which atones for all of Klai, so that could be a problem. Then we quote the Mishnah again, Kol Shivas Hayomim Lohi Umonim V'chulei, during the 7-day period of time that he's mufrosh from his house and his wife, we allow him to eat whatever he wants. But then, on Erev Yom Kippur, we restrict him. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Kosa tells us, Machilin also Slosso Subetzim, that what type of food would they give him? On Erev Yom Kippur, they would give him, Slossos is flour, finely sifted flour, Ubetzim and eggs. Why? Kidei lemasmaso. Now Rashi understands kidei lemasmaso to mean to go and make him have diarrhea. Kidei leshalshalo. Why? Shelo yitztarech lemekavav lemochwa. So this way he won't have to waste time on Yom Kippur going to the bathroom. He'll basically be evacuated, and that's why they feed him those foods. However, the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz disagrees, and he says, it doesn't make any sense to say that you want to give him diarrhea. He says, in Mishal Shalim, Yamshichu B'kach Kam L'mocha, that could actually give him, if a person takes an enema, so then he could still be leaking afterwards. So therefore, he's Mefarish L'samsimo, means to constipate him, the exact opposite. And this way, you won't have to go to the bathroom tomorrow. The Rabbeinu El Yakim adds, and he says that these ma'achalim elu nochim l'hisachal, they're easily digested. U'memele lo yo'ol of the ma'achal masu, and therefore they won't be a problem for him the next day. The Gemara continues and discusses other foods that could impact the ability of a kohen to become tamei or a zav to have a discharge. Let's give a little background on a zav. A zav is a man who has a certain type of a discharge. They always refer to it as a gonorrheal-like discharge. Lani is dati, that's totally wrong, because if you have any illness, then by definition, that's not something that comes about naturally. It comes about because of an onus, and an onus is by definition not going to be a zav discharge. So I don't like to refer to it as a gonorrheal-like discharge, but instead it's a certain type of a discharge. It is different than a discharge of semen. There are differences between the two of them. And Rashi points out over here, in Dibra Masko, zav tolon obamaychol, two lines from the bottom, where Rashi points out that this has to come lo machmas onso, that a zov discharge can't come because of some other factor, because of some onus. Avo balkeri is tamei ba onus. A balkeri discharge, even if it's intentional, even if it comes about through any reason, the ein keri v'zov boi mimokum echad, that the zov discharge and the keri discharge are not coming from the same place. V'ein mareim shove, and they're not identical in appearance. What's the difference? Shazov, the zov type of discharge, is in fact dome lemei botzek shel sorin, is like the dough that's made out of barley. V'ein o kosher, it's not so thick. Elo kaluban beitza, it's like the white of an egg. Hamuzeris, that is more scrambled and more disparate. The shichva zera is kosher. The shichva zera is more attached. It's more viscous. Kaluban beitz or shenu zeris. It's like an egg that's not scrambled. In other words, there are differences physically between these two discharges, and they have different halachos. The zav discharge, if you have two discharges within a three-day period of time, three consecutive days, it can be on 1 day, on 2 days, or on 3 days, is going to make you into a person who's tamei for 7 days. If you have three of them, then you also have to bring a karban. This is different than a zava, where the dinim are somewhat different. A zav discharge, number two and number three, that you have in order to make you into a zav or into a zav gadol, they cannot occur because of an onus. They only occur if they come out naturally without any sort of an inciting factor. Again, the first discharge, which is a keri discharge, so that can come even if it's ba'onis or not ba'onis, and that counts. Now, this is to make you into a zav or a zav gadol. Both a zav or a zav gadol have to count zayin nekiyim. It's a concept that we're not familiar with, but women have zayin nekiyim, but men also could have zayin nekiyim in days of tumah and tahara concern, so a man would also have to count zayin nekiyim. During the zayin nekiyim, then if you have a discharge, so then it will ruin your zayin nekiyim, even if it comes ba'onis. So these basic facts, now we can understand the Gemara. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Sumcha soma mishum remeya. Sumcha tells us the halacha in the name of remeya. Ein machilin oso, we don't go and give a zav these various types of food known as lo aboy, the amri le lo abavoy. These are mnemonics, which we'll explain in a moment. The yeshomim af lo yayin lovin. And also, we don't give a zav this yayin lovin because all of these things will make him have a discharge. Now, that's not going to be important to make him into a zav or a zav gadol, but that will be important during the zayin nekiyim that we don't want him to have this. Now, there's a whole discussion here amongst the poskim. Does this apply to the Kohen Gadol as well? And why does it only state this in regards to a Zav? And does it apply to a Kohen Gadol? So the simple answer is that it applies to a Kohen Gadol as well. Others disagree and say that it doesn't apply to a Kohen Gadol because, as the Tosfos Yeshanim brings down over here, in the Dibra Maskel, Ein Machilin Oso Chagvi, which is the next piece of the Gemara, he says, Tema, Amai Lo Choshev B'Kohen Gadol. Why don't we say all of these things about the Kohen Gadol? We don't want him to have a Zav discharge as well. So the answer is Yesh Lomai Dolo Hichmiru Bo Kol Kach. We weren't so machmir according to Tosfos Yeshanim for the Kohen Gadol. Ivim Tomar Amai Lo Hechilu Lezov. So why don't we give these things to a Zov? V'lo Einu Matami Ba'onis. But the Zov is not Matami Ba'onis. So if these things cause it, so it won't even be Matami. So Gemara says Yesh Lomai Demichol Mokol Miyasasra Afilu Ba'onis. That during the Zayin Nekiyim it can have an effect, as I mentioned before. In any event, there is an opinion that says that in fact we do have all these dinim, and we don't give them to the Kohen Gadol as well, different than the Tosfos Yeshanim. What are this abe and abave and the yayin lovin that we just mentioned? So lo aboy, we don't give him aboy. That's a mnemonic for lo esrog, the allegory for esrog. Lo beitzim, we don't give him beitzim. Lo yayin yoshin, we don't give him old wine as well. The Amri law, others said it was lo abavoy. We add on one thing to the mnemonic. The basic aboy is the same. Lo esrog, lo beitzim, the lo Basar Shomein. The second vase is Basar Shomein, and also below Yayin Yashan. And then the Yeshomim was Yeshomim aflo yayin lovin. Even if it's not old wine, if it's white wine, we also don't do that because all of these menesha yayin lovin maybe it's adam lidei tuma because it could lead to a seminal discharge. We don't want that to happen to the sub. We don't want that to happen to the kohen gadol. Tana Rabbanon, Zav tolin lo b'maychol. Normally, if a Zav eats something and has a discharge, so we can be tolled on the food that he ate. Now, this tolin lo b'maychol means any food. Rashi says, and that same Dira that we had at the end of it before, Zav tolin lo b'maychol, he says, v'im ochal maychol harbe michomin. Eating excessively any food could lead to a Zav discharge, and then you can be tolled on the fact that he ate too much. So, again, if it's making him into a Zav, so then we discount it. If it's during the Zayin Nekim, we don't discount it. We don't give him ein machilin also lo chagvi, which is a mnemonic which we'll explain in a moment, lo gabam, which is another mnemonic we'll explain in a moment, and in general, v'lo chol dvar mevin l'dei tumah. We don't give him anything that could lead him to have a seminal discharge. Now, what is chagvi? Lo chagvi, we don't give him chagvi. This is, the ches is lo cholav, the gimel is lo gvina. We don't give him milk and we don't give him cheese. Lo beitzah, the base is beitzah, eggs. Lo yayin, and wine is the yud. What is gabam? Lo gabam, we don't feed him gabam. So the gimel stands for mei grisim shel pool. This is some sort of pool is beans that they're ground up. It's like chopped up into some sort of a doughish like thing called grisim shel pool. It's like grits. Ubasa shami, we don't give him fatty meat. Umuryas, we don't give him fish brine. Okay, all of these things can also lead to tumah. V'lo kol dvar mevin lidei tumah. Lasu yimai. What does this last statement come to include? Lasu yihodu tarabon. It comes to include that which the Chazal taught us in the following brisa. Chamisha dvar mevin es odom lidei tumah. The following five things lead to tumah. Rachmona l'tzlan, a person can get a discharge if he eats these things. Ve'elheim, what are these five things? So the first one is hashum, which is garlic. We turn to the Amud Beis. Yud Ches Amud Beis, where it says Vashachlaim. Shachlaim is always translated as cress. Rashi even has the foreign language words cressin. Then Chalag Lugos. And Rashi has the foreign language words for that, pulpur, which elsewhere the Gemara tells us in both Rosh Hashanah and in Megillah, Shelo Yadu Chachamim. The rabbis did not know what this Chalag Lugos was until they spoke with the Amsa the Rebbe, and she told them, until how much longer are you going to go and spread out your chalag luglech? What does that mean? So they knew that parpechina was what she was talking about, and therefore this chalag luglos is something called parpechina, which is an asev that was well known to them. And the Aruch says that it's an Arabic word, and it's called regilas hagina. Whatever it is, that's what it is. It's a certain type of yerek, Rashi tells us elsewhere as well. So that's chalag luglos. You don't give him that because it could lead to zera. And babetzim, we don't give him eggs, and gargir. Gargir is also a certain type of food, a tzemach, a growth, known as ben chardol, like a son of a pepper. Okay, whatever it is. The Gemara now tells us a definition we see in Tanakh of this gargir. It says, Vayetze echod el asod lakit oros, there was a time of famine in Klai Yisrael, and they went out to the field to go gather these oros to eat. So Tonim Yishmeh Remeir, they learned in the Beis Medrash the name of Remeir, ze gargir, this Oros that we're referring to in the Pasuk was actually Gargir. And Omer Yochanan, Yochanan says, Lomanik Roshimon Oros. Why was it called Oros? Shemeiros Esoinaim. It lights up the eyes. What does that mean, it lights up the eyes? It's somehow good for your vision. And Omer Rav Huna said, Hamotzei, this is the gears that we have, it should be Hamotzei Gargir. If somebody goes and finds Gargir. Im Yocho Liochlo Ochlo. If you can eat it, go and eat it. What does it mean, if you can eat it, go and eat it? So some of the Farshim explained that it's improper for a person to go and eat things in public. That's not the way we do things. We eat Pitsino. A person eats privately. You don't go around walking in the street eating something. It's not a Bechavadika way to eat. So if you're able to go and eat it in a Bechavadika way, so go and eat it. But if you can't, Vim Lav, if you can't eat it in a Bechavadika way, but you still want to get its benefits, at least Maviro Agabi Einav. Go and pass it over your eyes. And Omer Rapapa said, Bigargira Matsrano. This is talking about this gargir that was a boundary in the fields. It was a meitzar. They would go and plant this to show where my field ends and your field starts. The Rabbeinu Eliyakim brings down this idea that you don't eat publicly. He says there's an idea of ochel bashuk. The Gemara in Kedushin tells us doma lekelev. Somebody eats publicly, they're like a kelev. And therefore, a person shouldn't do this if there's a choice. The Rabbeinu Eliyakim says, since it's pikuach nefashos, this is for medicinal needs, it's not a concern. And the Gemara in Shabbos, the Rabbeinu Chananel points out that a gargir is moel leinayim afilu shahayo saginor. Even for a blind person, it can have some benefit. In any event, Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav tells us further, Ach senoi lo yochal beitzim. Rakhid Lomarav says that a person who's a guest shouldn't go and eat eggs because that's going to lead him to have keri. As Rashi says, shemivin lidei keri umizgan abnei abayis. Everybody's going to look at him in a somewhat negative way, in a disgusting way, that this person had a keri discharge. And likewise, lo yisham bataliso shabal abayis. Don't go and sleep if you had eggs in the garment that the host provided with you with. As Rashi points out, shehu miskase bo bayom, that the host wears this during the day, and he's going to give it to you to wear at night. Shelo yimotzi ola keri, and he's going to find keri on, and he's not going to be happy. The Rabbeinu Chananel adds over here, achsonoi liyochal beitzim, because if you go and sleep in his talis, shema yira keri, v'yitanei fatalis, and it's going to ruin the talis, and the balabas is going to think that Rahman al-Islan, you had relations with his wife, so therefore, that's why you shouldn't do this. Now the Gemara is going to have a very, very unusual minog that Rav and Rav Nachman had, and you have to really understand this, and we'll see this in the name of the Ben Yoyada, how to properly understand this. So Rav Kimikla the Darshish, when Rav would go to a city known as Darshish, we'll explain why this city is specifically mentioned in the Ben Yoyada. So he was Machus, he would announce, Man Havliyoma, who would want to be my wife for one day? Because he didn't want to be even one day without having a wife, because he could, Rachmana Luzlan, have her hurim. And Rav Nachman, Kad Mikla, the Shan Chetziv, Machwis. Similarly, Rav Nachman, who went to the city of Shan Chetziv, he would also announce, Man Havel Yuma, who would want to be my wife for one day? And this way, they wouldn't, Chas V'Sholom, lead to having impure thoughts, and wouldn't lead to have Keri. So, there's a couple of problems over here. How do you go about marrying somebody for one day? And all the halachic problems, which the Gemara will discuss in a moment. But I'd like to first bring down the Ben Yoyada over here, who says, what type of people are we talking about? Rav and Rav Nachman, they weren't able to control themselves for being away one day, if they didn't have pas pesalu, if they didn't have a wife capable of having relations with them, they would, rachmon litzlan, be inappropriate, they would have a discharge, so it doesn't make any sense. So you got to listen to the words of the Ben Yoyada here, which is, if you don't read this Ben Yoyada, it's really very difficult to understand the Gemara. So he says, chalila lahar acher gdoli chachmi yisro. It's impossible to think, rachmon litzlan, that these gedol and Rav and Rav Nachman couldn't control themselves. Their taivas v'chas v'sholom so strong, she'enam yicholum lamod below isha, filu mikzas yomim, that they couldn't withstand this for a short period of time, which most people can withstand for a short period of time. It's not a problem. And he therefore says that when Rav and Rav Nachman came to these two specific cities, Darshish and Shan Chetziv, they saw that the people had customs to get married very, very late in life. They would wait till they were 30 or 40 to get married. And they thought this was a horrible practice. And they said, you can give all the musa shmuzin you want. You can talk and talk and talk and talk, and people will not believe you. So they demonstrated how important it is to get married by going and announcing, who will marry me for one night? Because even one night without being married is a potential problem. And that's what Rav and Rav Nachman did. They wanted to demonstrate to the people living in Darshish and Shin Chetziv that they were doing something that was terribly wrong. And you can only really demonstrate this by an action, not by words alone. Again, a most beautiful Ben Yoyada. In any event, the Gemara now discusses the technical problems over here with this idea that Rav and Rav Nachman wanted to get married for one day. Moore says, how can they do this? Well, Tanya, Yaakov Omer, lo a person shouldn't go marry a woman in New York, you also marry a woman in New Orleans. Because what's going to happen? Each family is not going to know about the other family. They didn't have instant communication. They didn't have instant messaging. And therefore, they could go years without necessarily having communication one to the other. So Shema Yizdav Guzer Tzolzer, what's going to happen? The children from New York and the children from New Orleans are going to go to college together someplace, and they'll like each other, and the boy in New York is going to want to marry his sister in New Orleans. It's a half-sister. The Nimtza, Och Nosei Achosa, Rachman al-Islan, a brother is going to marry his sister. Now we have in parentheses for Av Nosei Bito, because the Mefarshim explained this doesn't belong here. Obviously, Av won't be Nosei Bito, but this is a borrowed Lashon elsewhere where they use this Och Nosei Achosa for Av Nosei Bito, so therefore it was by mistake putting in by the editor. But this should be deleted because it doesn't make any sense. The father knows exactly who his wives are and who his children are. In any event, what Rahman al-Islam could happen is if you have a wife in one city and a wife in another city, so it's going to lead to trouble. So how could Rav and Rav Nachman do this if they now would have another wife in Darshish and Shin Chetziv respectively, and that's going to be in addition to their own wife in their hometown? And because the brother will marry his sister, all the children are going to be mamzerim, and the world will be filled with mamzerim. And about this, the pasuk says, this is going to lead to there being a tremendous immorality in the world. So how could they do this? Gemara says, no. Rav and Rav Nachman are different. Amri, Rabbanon, these great rabbis, the whole world knows about them. They're featured in all the newspapers. They're featured every place they go. Oh, so-and-so got married to so-and-so. So everybody's going to know about it. Kol Islu. And therefore, it won't occur that their son will not know their daughter in another city because they're so famous that everybody will know what's going on. So that's teretz number one. Fine. Gemara says, well, I'm a Rava, but we still have another problem. Rava says, Tovau alinase, if you go and propose to a woman to get married to you, v'nispaisa, and she agrees to it, you still have to wait, zayin nekiyim, tzricha leishiv shiva nekiyim, because from the fact that she's in love with you and when you propose to her, and she gets excited, she could be pure sanida, so she has to count zayin nekiyim. She may not have noticed it, and therefore, we still assume that she had that dam, and therefore, even if she didn't notice it, she has to count Zayin Akim. So here, how could Rav and Rav Nachman go into town, say who wants to marry? A woman says yes, but they'd have to wait Zayin Akim. So Gemara says, these rabbis, Rav and Rav Nachman, before they go to this town, Rabbanan Aduye Havu Moduluhu, they would send a messenger ahead of them to announce who would like to go and marry us. Mikodem Havu Matime Umeshadre Shlucha. So therefore, they would go and send these shluchim ahead, a week at least in advance. The woman would say yes, she would count the Zayin Akim, and by the time Rav and Rav Nachman got there, the Zayin Akim would be over. That's teretz number one. They would go and live with them in private. They would have yichud with them, but they wouldn't have tashmish with them. Because just the idea that they could have them, even though they can't have them right now, they would have them in the after the Zayin Akim, that would temper their desires and their lusts, and therefore they would be able to go and be satisfied, even though they couldn't actually live with them, they would just be miyached them and not be a problem in terms of them having an inappropriate hearer. Again, it's a very difficult to understand Gemara from what we would understand. Without the Ben Yoyada, I think the Gemara is going to be a hidden secret to us what it really means. The Ben Yoyada, to me, Lani Ezdati, opened up this Gemara to tell us that they had a purpose in doing this to show the other people the importance of marriage and not to delay marriage. And that is certainly a very worthwhile message. And that leads us into the next Mishnah, which I already mentioned a little bit, and we'll learn this Mishnah, and then we'll finish the Shia for today. Misaruah Ziknei Beis Din LeZiknei Kahuna. So the Ziknei Beis Din then turned it over to the Ziknei Yehuda, and they started to teach him the specifics, to teach the Kohen Gadol how to do the Chafinas HaKetores, as Rashi says, which is the taking the handful. It's a very complicated procedure. Gemara will discuss it later on. I won't go into it now. But the Kohen Gadol had to go and do the handful while he's holding on to the container, having the incense inside of it. He had to pour it into his hands without spilling any of it and go and bring the Ketores inside Lifnai V'Lifnim. So this is a complicated physical as well as halachic idea. And therefore, the experts in this would teach him, and they brought him to V'Halu, Beis Avtinas. The Beis Avtinas was the place in the Beis HaMikdash where they made the Ketores. And these people were the experts in doing the ketones, and they would teach the Kohen Gadol how to do this difficult avodah. It's called avodah koshahi. And therefore, the Beis Avtinas, where they were, Rashi says, how you osin as haktores, kochin oso ma'arivim sammanim, they would go and grind it up and mix them all together. So they were experts in this, and they would teach him there how to do it. Vishbiyu, and these same witnesses would swear to him, make him swear, v'niftaru, and then they would leave him after he swore, v'hochulem, and they would go on their way, and they would leave him over there. Now, what was this shvua? So we put down previously that with the Bedavka have at least two, so they could then testify afterwards that they in fact had taught him properly, and he couldn't say, no, I wasn't taught properly, and therefore you don't have the right to punish me for doing the Ketores like the Tztukim rather than the Ketores like the Prushim, like we're supposed to do it. So the Bedavka had two. And these Edim / Tamidei Chachamim would tell him, Ishi Kohen Gadol, again, Ishi is a title of respect, my master, the Kohen Gadol. We are the Shluchim and Basin. Don't be upset with us for having to talk to you in this way. We are following our responsibilities as the Shluchim of the Basin. And you are going to be the Shliach for all of Klai Yisrael, Shliach Basin, as well as the Shliach for the Basin. So we are Mashbin Anu Alecha. We are obligated to go and make you swear. The Misha Shikain Shemo Babai Sazeh. Based upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the one whose dwelling is felt in this place. So Shelo Tishan and Dover, that you will not change one thing around, one iota, from everything that we taught you how to do. And again, the main point of discussion was to do the actual burning of the incense inside the Lifnai Lifnim and not to go in there with it already being lit. He would then go and turn aside and cry because Nebuch, they were choshish that he would do it wrong. And they would go and cry that they had to go tell the Kohen Gadol to do this. Finally, the mission concludes and says, Now we have the Gersim Hu, but we just delete the word Hu. Im Haya Chacham Doresh. If the Kohen Gadol is a Talmud Chacham, again, first Beis HaMikdash, this was always what was done, and sometimes those rare occasions, the second Beis HaMikdash, so then he would stay up all night, and he would learn, and he would give a shiur. V'im Lav, if he wasn't a Talmud Chacham, so then, in order to help him stay up all night, Talmidei Chacham Doresh in front of, so they would learn in front of him to keep him awake. V'im Ragu Likros, if he's able to go and learn inside, Kari, so he reads inside. V'im Lav, if he's not able to read inside, Korim Lefanov, so they would read in front of him. What would they read? In order to keep him up, V'met Korim Lefanov, what parts of Tanakh would they read to him? So, surprisingly, they would read to him from Eov, Ube Ezra, Ube Diriya Yomin. They read from these Sifrei Tanakh. Rashi explains why these Svarim in particular. He says, Shein Dvarim Mamshichin Etzaleid. These are very interesting things that would go and make his heart want to listen to more. L'shomon, V'ein Shina Chotvasu, and he won't fall asleep. Finally, the Mishnah concludes with Zechariah ben Kvutal Omer. He said, I myself was there many a times, Pomim Harbe, Karisi Lefona B'Daniel. I would read from him from Daniel. In the Yerushalmi, it's brought down a brisa. Shekorn lefona b'mishlei or b'tehillim, they would read b'davka mishlei and tehillim. Shetaimum meifik ezashiram, because listening to them and understanding them will also make him not fall asleep. However, according to the Rambam, in Avodas Yom Kippurim, he brings down lo pared etz asvarim behem korim lefona. They didn't specify which svarim he could read, because of shekorn lefona b'kisvi hakodesh, they could read anything to him. And the Lecha Mishnah is surprised at this, because our Gemara seems to say otherwise. So it's a kasha on the Rambam. The Siach Yitzchok says, "She'ein makpidin b'mei yikro." We're not makpid about what we read to him. It should just be whatever it is that will make him pay attention. And Daniel is fine, Ezra is fine, Devarim is fine. The bottom line is, we're reading to him in order that he should stay up and awake. With that, we conclude today's shiur.